Welcome to Virtual Economy, a podcast about the business of games for the rest of us. We're your hosts. I'm Michael Footer.
And I'm Amanda Farrow.
Earlier this week, we were approached by Ukrainian developer Weasel Token by way of their PR agency. Weasel Token, which is based in Kyiv, Ukraine, wanted to tell its story to the world as Russia continues its invasion. This is not an interview we would have sought out due to the ongoing conflict and the danger facing Ukrainian citizens every day that this continues. In times like this, people are infinitely more important than video games, and therefore this is an interview about people, not games. We're grateful that Alexander Molodkin asked us to help broadcast his story to the world.
This interview with Alexander is about 25 minutes long and focuses on his experience living in Kyiv during the Russian invasion. Weasel Token is currently developing Puzzles for Clef, which it describes as a peaceful 2D puzzle adventure with a treasure hunt at its core. And if you are so inclined, we've included a link to the studio's website and the game's Steam page in the show notes.
I'm glad I have this opportunity to share my part of the story and just talk to the world a bit.
We genuinely are privileged to have you here with us today, considering the bleakness of the situation where you are, and we're so glad that, you know, we're able to help you tell your story, especially to other developers around the world, which make up the bulk of our audience.
Yeah, we are just trying to spread awareness, you know, because both in Russia and out of it, not everyone acknowledges the scale of this problem.
Yeah,
so we're just trying to talk about it as much as we can.
So let's just jump right into it. We want to know, Mike and I really do want to know. And like I said, you know, our job is to just kind of ask the questions and then get out of the way so that you can tell your story. But we want to know about your experiences over the last week.
I would say it's a very depressing atmosphere, but at the same time, no one here even expected the military of Ukraine, the armed forces of Ukraine, to put that hell of a fight that they are putting on. We are super proud of them. So we are actually very optimistic right now that victory is possible. And I guess I should start from the first day of the war. First explosion I heard happened sometime past 4 a.m. local time. I was the only one awake in our apartment in the moment because I'm just a late bird. I like staying up late working. Was working so on our game as well. Yeah. And I immediately realized what's happening because the situation was getting to that point for months. I'm usually a very apolitical person. I'm staying out of any political news at all. I'm not following them. But around the beginning of January, even I started hearing the echoes of the potentially coming war. I've started following the news and the stuff about Russian military surrounding our borders. Everyone here didn't believe this could happen at all. Some people like me thought that Putin wouldn't just gather all his forces just to put pressure, so we expected him to at least create some kind of local conflict. However, our hope was that it would be local only. So he would just, for example, try forcing his way into Donbass, chewing that off, and get away with it. As you know, that's not the whole thing that happened, because he decided to go for a full-on invasion.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, it was the 21st of February, back when he gave a speech, and there was a rather direct threat directed at us about what the meaning of true decommunication is, that he will show us what that is. And after that, some people still didn't believe anything would happen, but my hope that it would be only a local conflict dwindled. I was almost sure that he would go for a full invasion now. That said, we didn't really have any opportunity to evacuate our whole family because As I've mentioned, we are a couple and we live with my mother and grandmother. My grandmother has issues with her legs. So it would be very hard for her to just move to some other town. It's just the process of moving would be difficult, and it would be even worse living in an unfamiliar environment. So yeah, we just had to stay here despite my realization that this is coming and this is unavoidable. We've moved into our hallway. It's a part of our apartment, just away from the outer walls and windows, because staying in rooms is rather unsafe right now.
Right.
That's where we live for the last week. We are just, most of the time we are in the hallway. Sometimes when it's relatively safe, like no air danger alarms for several hours, my mother and grandmother go to the rooms to have some decent sleep. Can say it's good sleep, but at least decent. And me and Tay, my partner and co-founder of Weasel Token Like Me, well, we just stay in the hallway the entire time. We take turns sleeping because someone has to be awake to wake everyone up in case something happens. Sure. We just follow the news and check in all the alarms that happen. We try to keep up with all the explosions and attacks, etc., happening all over Ukraine because, as you can imagine, we have a lot of friends and relatives, and we just want to be aware of everything that's happening to immediately contact them to check up if they are safe. And that's honestly the entire daily life of ours, because even if you try doing something other than that, you're just immediately back to it in your mind. Your thoughts just stray back to the topic. You can just put your mind off of it for even half an hour before it wanders off back. Kind of like that.
And to be clear for those who are listening, you are right in Kyiv. And, yep. You know, which of course is where Russia wants to be. And they are pushing towards capturing Kyiv. You mentioned that we did have some indication that Putin was going to ramp up from a local conflict to a full invasion. You know, obviously gathering your family is a big piece of what you did. Was there anything else you were able to do personally or even professionally to prepare? Because obviously you're in the middle, life changes in a conflict like this and everything gets upended. But were you able to put any plans in place and make any preparations personally and professionally?
Nothing much, sadly, because the best thing you could do is just escape, either to another country or at least to the west of Ukraine, where it's relatively safer. Many of our acquaintances and friends and colleagues from the industry did just that. For example, the company I've worked with a lot transported all of their workers to the west of Ukraine. But since that wasn't an option for us, we just had to deal with it. We've planned stuff we would take with us if evacuation happens. When everything did unfold, we packed those bags already. For example, my PC is in my bag, my laptop, because if something sudden happens, I just won't have the time to pack it up. I'll have to leave it behind, so it's in my bag. I'm on my phone all week just for safety. We didn't really create any stockpiles of food and stuff because no one was doing it. So it's still relatively possible to buy some stuff in stores.
Okay.
Of course, currently there are a lot of queues to every grocery store and to the pharmacies, but it's still possible to get some necessary things. During the week, we've ventured twice to the outside world and bought some, restocked some of the supplies we need. Hopefully it will last. We just have a hope that this conflict won't be a very long one. And yeah, we just hope we'll manage to fight off the enemy. While Kyiv is our main target, our territorial defense forces, our armored forces are great at defending us. It's very clear that Putin underestimated our power and fighting spirit, because mm-hmm. even very simple citizens who never held a weapon in their hands are just joining the territorial defense to help as much as they can. Personally, we haven't been doing that because we need to take care of family and
sure.
because honestly, we are no soldiers at all. Like, we would most likely be just a nuisance rather than help. But we've been trying to help in other ways. Like I've mentioned, we are spreading awareness. We've donated some money to the armed forces. We are trying to spread the context to donate money to other people and media. Yeah, something like that.
Wow, that is so intense. That is so, so very intense. And listen, like, part of the reason why we wanted to make sure that we had you on as quickly as we could is what can the video game industry do to support Ukrainian developers right now? How can we best be of assistance?
I would say that the whole game industry, aside from Russia, is actually already very supportive. Like those sales going directly to fund our armed forces from CDPR, Amanita Design, etc., 11-bit studios, just those I remember off the top of my head. It's already an incredible show of support, and we are really glad this happens and people try not to stay away from this. However, I would say that we would appreciate a lot more support from the Russian industry, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but all the countries with major Russian-speaking population, like Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, are very interconnected. Mm-hmm. We've never been treated differently because we are from Ukraine. The same goes the other way around. Basically, all the chat rooms and forums and conferences that are held in post-USSR space are open for everyone, and we're all friends there. However, it was rather disappointing to see that now that Russia is under sanctions and Ukraine is at war, Russian part of the community just tries to solve their own problems while disregarding ours. For example, if you try even speaking about the whole thing that's happening right now in a chat room that is moderated by Russian people, they would most often just try to shut you down because, hey, this is a professional place. Let's keep politics out of it. And like, there are many other chats online that you could talk about this. So let's just talk about our issues. And those issues are usually, hey, how do we receive money from Steam now? Where do we relocate, because this is it's shitty here, and they're always twisting this out as if everyone needs a place to talk about this during the conflict, but they don't realize that they're the only ones who are preoccupied with these exact issues, because we don't want to relocate, we don't want to somehow change our bank to easier receive money with less taxes or receive them at all. We're in war. We are like fighting for our lives here.
You literally have like better things to deal with.
Yeah. And they're just trying to stay away. They're trying to stay neutral, but it's really not the time to stay neutral. It's sad that this happens. It's sad to see.
And I think it's important to remind listeners that, that while, you know, we talk about a Russian invasion, this is really Putin and the oligarchs, and there are a number of people in Russia who are vehemently against the war and against the invasion.
Absolutely. And,
It would be great if, obviously there is danger there, but at the same time, you're right. There, it's really not possible to keep a conversation to just professional matters when you are under attack, quite literally.
Yeah, it's some people are amazing and have been really supportive in this whole conflict. They've contacted us and made sure we're safe. And for example, our composer that we outsource our music tasks to is a Russian girl, and she is a great person that supported us in all of this instead of just trying to stay out of it.
Sure.
But yeah, unfortunately, that's not the global overlook on this whole situation in Russia. I understand that they don't support the war, obviously, but they also don't try to spread awareness, because in Russia there is a very strong propaganda machine.
Yeah,
I've been to Russian mass media sites, and it's just terrible how different the whole story is from their side. They're twisting everything out to seem backwards. They're still trying to say that they're just saving Donbass and that we're some kind of Russophobic Nazis. Even so, we've never had anything against Russians. We still don't have anything against Russians. We just want to have our peaceful industry back, to have this whole conversation going, and for their soldiers to stay out of our country, obviously. And they kind of get it, but they don't want to discuss it. They think that, oh yeah, I've heard that tons of times already, so I don't want to hear it again. But it's not about those who have heard it. It's about getting into those heads that still don't believe it's happening. And that's what we are trying to do. And that's what they're trying to shut down.
Are you encountering a lot of denial from Russian members of the game industry in those areas, that they don't believe that this is as bad as you say it is, or that it's even happening at all?
I wouldn't say that someone denied that this is happening, but I did see some people thinking that this is all for the good of the people, that this is all some sort of peacekeeping, and it's very difficult to even answer to. Thankfully, most people, at least in the industry part, are more open-minded and understand what's happening. They still try to shut it down by going by some kind of excuses like, well, when the US does something similar, it's okay, so why can't we? And that's a very stupid thing to say, in my opinion, because even if all the countries in the world did that before, it doesn't mean that doing that again is good, whoever did that.
Yeah, I mean...
As it turns out, American. Imperialism is bad.
Yeah.
It is. And I'm American and Mendes Canadian, and I will tell you from the American perspective that our behavior is not really a model most of the time. So I don't think using us as a scapegoat is really a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not popular, okay.
Yeah. Another popular excuse is that we've been allowing the war to happen on Donbass for 8 years, as if we ever wanted that to happen, as if Russia had nothing to do with that.
Right.
But yeah, that's just another super stupid thing to say.
Right. Nobody welcomes war on their doorstep. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
And of course, this isn't the first time where Russia has taken action like this in Ukraine. There was the Crimea situation a number of years ago, where there were some other developers who had to flee, and, you know, 4A Games, of course, being probably the most prominent, where they relocated to Malta after that. I mean, this is not new, unfortunately, for Russia to behave like this and to commit these crimes.
And both Crimea and Georgia before that in 2008. Sure. It's just terrible that they continue doing that, and it just goes unpunished. I'm glad that at least this time around they're getting a lot more sanctions than they did ever before.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, given everything that's going on, and given how much that you are managing right now, and having to be ready to move at a moment's notice if an evacuation order comes in, what is one thing you want the rest of the world to know right now about your situation, you know, either personally or, you know, kind of broadly for the industry, or just broadly as Ukrainian people?
Well, since we're game developers, we're usually trying to address gamers, because we just don't want to echo the obvious thing that war is terrible. Everyone says that, everyone knows that. And to the gamers, we usually try saying that they should just support developers as much as they can whenever they can, because usually game developers just want to create some wonderful experience for the players, just to let them go through some harsh times unscathed, or just to help them cope with something. And now is the time for gamers to rise up and support the developers, because Ukrainian developers are going through some really harsh times right now. So if there are some developers you know that are from Ukraine, even if it's just some part of the team or something, you could always just show your kindness to them. Plus, of course, there are various ways to donate to our armed forces, to the funds. For example, there is a fund called Save Life that helps a lot with negating the negative consequences of this whole crisis. And anything out of it would help, both just kind words of support and money and whatever anyone can think of.
And I will go and I will find the link to Save Lives so that we can.
Yeah, I think Ryan already has the link, so he'll be able to share those with you.
Great. Awesome. And we will make sure to put those in the show notes as well.
The game industry, streamers, influencers, you know, people that love games, they can be some of the most generous human beings on the planet. And now's the time to really, really dig deep and show that generosity through acts of kindness and through kind words and whatever support that we can all muster. Because, you know, safety is while safety is, you know, of primary concern, you know, the goal is to just get back to normal, to have peace and prosperity and joy. But for you... Yeah, and for you and for your partner, what does the road look like? What does the road ahead look like once you're no longer having to sleep in shifts and things, and Russia is expelled finally? What does the road ahead look like?
We hope to just stay here and continue working on our game. Originally, we envisioned it as a peaceful project to help people survive the pandemic, the self-isolation. It's a very risk-free experience, and we believe that now it will be even more important to see it come to life. We've already had some really great responses on how people like it during the last week's festival. It was basically the only thing we could do related to the game, honestly, when people were just contacting us and joining our Discord server and talking to us about the game. It was the only thing that we could do and concentrate on. We hope to make that project come to life and help people all over the world, and especially here in Ukraine, to cope with the post-war issues that will come either way. We hope not to relocate. We hope that our armed forces win, and we'll just be able to live here, because we've never planned to leave Ukraine. Our goal was never to leave this land. Our friends, our families live here, and we just like it here. So if the worst comes to pass, if we have to move, if, for example, Russia conquers us and comes here with their barbaric notions of laws and views, we'll just have to move, because while this is our land, if it becomes just another part of Russia, it would be some sort of medieval community instead. So we'd have to leave, and we haven't really looked into details, but we've talked about maybe Poland or Portugal, but we can't really concentrate on researching those options. So this is very random guesses right now.
Mm-hmm. Alex, thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk with us. In the show notes, you will find a link to Weasel Token's website, a link to Wishlist Puzzles for Clef, the game that Weasel Token is working on, as well as a number of links where you can go and visit and check out charities that are supporting the war effort, as well as the relief effort in Ukraine. Alex, thank you so much. We hope that you and your family stay safe, that this all ends soon, and that you can regain some sense of normalcy and safety very, very soon.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
And thank you all for listening to this special episode of the Virtual Economy Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @virtualeconcast, and I am at Amanda Farrow.
And I am at Footerish, F-U-T-T-E-R-I-S-H. We will be back this weekend for our regularly scheduled news show. Until then, remember to wash your hands, stay hydrated, and please be good to one another.